What up? It's Shan's pick. Welcome to So What Page We On, Bae. Okay, it's an on-the-go book club in your pocket, on your computer, on your desktop, wherever you like to listen. Okay, we appreciate you. You can find more about this podcast on shanbepodden.com. If you would like to support this podcast, if you see it in your podcast app, subscribe. This is season 22. We have Casey. We got Kiki. We in different area codes, but we still breathing. Okay. Go ahead and press play. Before we get into this book, though, let's catch up.
What's up?
She's alive. Hello.
Hola.
Shalom.
Yeah. Hola, Kiki.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello. What else? There was a customer named Starburst. Why can't really just be in those labor and delivery rooms playing games? Somebody was named Nicole with the actual hole in her name. And I wanted to say so bad, her daddy must have named her because.
Right.
Why? And then somebody came on, a customer was the name of my first kiss boy.
Mm-hmm.
That first kiss in the second grade, I remember his name, David Peterson. I was like, oh, we in his account. I wonder if this is him.
How the fuck do you remember that?
I don't know. I'm so good with remembering a lot of names. I remember my first phone number from when I was in the second grade.
Mm-hmm.
How was your day?
Yeah.
My day was chill. I went to the doctor this morning.
And I went to Alpha Bash.
And then, he went to Alpha Bash.
What's that?
It's something that the school puts together when they're out. So, but one of his friends was in there too, so he went.
Oh, okay.
I hope he made friends already.
Oh man, what?
Did he get spring break?
He's on spring break right now.
Oh, that's early.
Really?
All right, came to me. Look. I said, what is that? Why you got a scratch on your face? She was like, well, this is what happened. Let me tell you the tea. So she told me what happened. And Anya wanted to get out of my seat. So I stood in front of her and she pushed me. And then I kicked her. And then she scratched me in my face. And that's how I had this. She said, am I in trouble? I said, no, but y'all just gonna look. Beat the hell up because y'all doing stupid shit.
Right.
Why y'all fighting over a chair and there's six chairs in my brother's office?
Right.
And then I'm emptying the truck. When I get here, they in the house. I told them I was going to shower first because I got here enough time to shower. Then I hear them scrapping in the house. So I was like, you know what? Forget it. I said, Anya, you go shower. See, you're always picking on me. It's always me first. It's not that I'm picking on you, but I just feel like you're older. So if she's getting on your nerves, you should have enough sense to go in your room and shut the door. But instead of doing that, you get petty with her on her level and you go back and forth, which is only going to piss me off.
Right.
And then she having that attitude with me because she's steady there thinking about her phone set up, talking about, I thought you said if somebody else get me a phone, you not gonna care. I said, I don't care if Santa Claus gets you a phone. I'm still going parental control that hoe. And if you got an attitude about that, I'm sorry. When you're 18 plus and your decisions on a device has nothing to do with me, I'm not gonna care.
But right.
Well, you don't do it for Ari. I said, you know how many times I put parental control on Ari's iPad and whoever in her house take it off? The thing is, you got one parent that parent. She got two.
Mm-hmm.
If I do something here and he take it off there, I did my effort. You know what I'm saying? It's not that I don't try to. Like, even they have like a family app where I can like limit their time on devices.
Mm-hmm.
I told her dad I sent an email to confirm it so I could parental control Ari's devices because she has a MacBook and the iPad now.
Mm-hmm.
All now, he hasn't verified the email. I did my part. You know what I'm saying? So if she sees something that she's not supposed to see, if she owns something she's not supposed to be on, you gonna have that conversation.
Right.
But it's like, Anya's dad not gonna do that. So I have to be the one to do it. It's kind of like, in a way, I wish she went to school with a kid whose parents don't give a fuck so she could see the difference. Mm. But she go to school with parents that kind of care, but a lot of them just give their kids shit because they're not around.
Yeah.
And so she think their parents give a fuck because they have shit. No, they don't. They just have shit because a lot of parents feel guilty that they're not physically around their kids, so they just give them the things that they want.
Right. The parents ain't really there.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not raising you like that. I'm sorry. You're not going to be having all the things and acting a fool and having shitty ass grades just to have all the things. I'm sorry.
Not in my goddamn house.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, let's get into this book. This is episode 4. Y'all know where y'all at. This is which page we on B. Okay. We are reading Black Women Must Die Exhausted. We don't believe they should, but they do. This is episode 4. We have Kiki, Casey, and myself, Sheen. Okay. If you haven't read the book, get the book. It's a good read. It's just a reminder of the bullshit that be on our plate as Black women. We are going over chapters 15 to 24. And the next time we record will be March 31st, where we're going to finish the book, because 25 to the end is not a lot. It's like basically 41 chapters in epilogue and it's done. The chapters aren't long. All right. I read everything. Not too much, not too heavy. Chapter 15, Lexi got after, got the aftermath cry face in the salon. Tabby trying to get her hair done for Mark. And Lexi in there basically with the cry face trying to cover up the fact that she looked a mess. So Lexi isn't wearing her engagement ring. Tabby trying to figure out what's the tea without telling her business in there. Lexi don't want to talk about it in there because she doesn't want everybody to know her business, but everybody is putting two and two together. So she's just like, meet me at such and such after this. So after Tabby's finished getting her hair done, chapter 16, Tabby found out that Rob cheated on Lexi again. And she talked about this not being the first time. And then they reminisce back when he cheated and gave her crabs in high school or college. And
no, it was high school.
Okay, in high school.
But they were like 14 or 15, I think.
Yeah. And basically Tabby was like, okay, I'll tell what you call it. And she was like, no, can it just be us at the spot? Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh. She was like, okay. So she took off her engagement ring and she check your DM alert was basically what this woman said under a post of her birthday. And she basically filled her in on the fact that her and Rob been having a relationship. Why am I minding my business catching up while I'm dropping off Anya? Sidebar.
Mm-hmm.
And she see the word Rob. She sees, see, even in the book, you can't get rid of that man. This ain't the same person. The person in here just happened to be that name. And me and Rob ain't never had no situation like this. Get out my book. You know. But anyway, chapter.
Girl, you can't get rid of Batman for nothing.
Okay. Oh, in my mix. Chapter 17 talks about the guilt of not being able to show up for her grandma. This is Tabby.
Mm-hmm.
And Tabby just feels like she should be at a point where her grandma could come live with her, but she really doesn't feel like she can take care of her the way that her life is so full and busy.
Mm-hmm.
Tabby is focused on her date with Mark. In my mind, I'm just like, this nigga's up to some bullshit. I didn't have any confidence in him that he was going to redeem himself. I feel like he's just trying to get her comfortable with the fact that he don't want to do the shit she want to do.
Yeah.
Right now.
So side note, right? To go back to your point where Tabby wants her grandmother living with her.
Yeah.
Like, we get into this bubble of we want our loved ones when they're older to stay with us, but they don't want, but we don't want them staying in like no retirement community or nothing like that.
Yeah.
But we also don't realize that what keeps them alive and what keeps them going is community.
Mm-hmm.
So they need friends at those places to keep them lively and to keep them going.
Yeah. Connections.
Right, because if they sit in our spot, like, for instance, I'm going to put my mom out there. So, like, when my mom comes and sees me, she's, like, just confined to her room because she's like, well, I don't want to come out and be a bother to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
When it's just like, you're not bothering me. But she's like, yeah, but I know you still got a life. Where now she in her own spot, they do movie nights, they do dinners, they do outings and stuff, and she all in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think at that age, they want to also feel like they have their thing still.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times what gets older people depressed or they die faster is the loneliness, the realization that they can't do as much as they thought for themselves anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they start to see like all of the things they used to do dwindling. So yeah. You put them in a space where they have all these options and it doesn't include somebody else having to show up for me in order for me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It helps them not feel like a burden. Not right. Saying that they are, but nobody wants to feel like I can't go to point A to point B to point C without somebody.
Right.
Yeah, but I think my grandfather should be in a home.
Why?
So it was somebody posted something on Facebook on Sunday about how he's going around our hometown, like harassing people for money.
Mm.
And one lady called the police on him. One lady was like, she gonna get her pistol, like telling people to like carry, like go get your gun in case he approaches you.
Oh.
And I'm just like, oh my God. And then they're gonna call the police next time they see him.
Well, why are you getting your gun for an old man?
Mommy.
White people.
Oh.
So, yeah, maybe he should go in a home. I mean, it's just him in his house right now.
Mm.
But that shit costs.
Yeah, but like, no shave. It's like, if he an old man, if an old nigga try to rob you, all you got to do is push him down.
Okay. I'm gonna step on his toe.
I don't know. I don't know. Very insane. So I hope he edited that part out.
Having that old people strength, though.
Right.
Edit that part out.
What else? So Tabby focused on her date with Mark, and he basically starts the day off with flowers, yellow flowers, basically an apology flowers. And
that whole date was a waste of time.
A whole waste of time. Mm-hmm. An excuse for why he doesn't drink because his dad used to drink and was an alcoholic and was abusive to his mom.
No, he drinks, but he counts his drinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My thing is this, because I've dated somebody who reason for not drinking alcohol is how he saw his dad on alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But he don't drink it, period. It's not like I drink some. He don't drink it, period. And I understand that, but I don't really give a fuck about that because I'm not a drinker. So I'm just like, cool. That's one less thing I gotta feel like to be comfortable. This is what we do.
Right.
But you can't take that and be like, how he was with me. I'm scared I'm gonna be like him, so I don't want kids. That's drastic, sir.
I thought that was a lame excuse.
So lame.
That was a lame excuse.
I was like, so lame.
I'm but, like, what does your dad have to do with that? I mean, you seem to be doing all right.
Okay.
But I mean, I guess from a man's point of view, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know what an example of a good household is. So when
that'd be hilarious.
So when I get into that box, I get I don't know if that's what I want. Because I guess my whole thing is it's just like, you know, he trying to get his mom to leave her dad. She don't want to leave his dad. He doesn't have a good relationship with his dad. So, yeah, I'm good at my job, but everything I wanted my dad to be at, he wasn't there. He wasn't available. He was alcoholic. So I don't necessarily think that he's going to be an alcoholic, but I just feel like he doesn't think he's going to be a good dad. I just think if niggas know that they're not ready for families, then they just need to go ahead outright and say that.
Yeah.
He probably also feel like he won't have support on his end, because you definitely need that when you have kids.
Right.
But you also have to be a man who's willing to ask for help. Like, it's one thing to be like, I'm lost on this fatherhood thing, and not talk to your friends that are good fathers, that you consider to be good fathers. Not
but maybe he ain't got that are good fathers.
Yeah, yeah. And if he can't depend on his dad, or his mom for that matter, it's like, who did he really have?
Then we need to call a thing and thing and be like, hey, I don't want kids. But I don't want to hear your bullshit story about why you want to be with me and this is why you don't want kids. So you want me to change my idea of having kids.
I don't think he was trying to get her to change his idea. Like, trying to get her to change her idea of having kids. He was saying, I don't want them right now, but who's to say I'm not going to want them with you later?
Yeah, but that's...
But at the same time... That was Tabby's cue to be like, all right, nigga, well, if you don't want them now, I'm not going to wait around to see if you want them later when I have other niggas that's wanting them now with me.
Because she literally cannot.
Right.
Speaking of that, when the fuck is her appointment? But yeah, I felt like he was sitting at that table on the date trying to convince her to be okay with him not wanting kids and for them to continue their relationship. And in her mind, she was just like, nigga, why are you still trying me? Why did you even do all of this if you know this is going to be the ending result? This is like date two of the last date.
Well, I don't know. Well, you can't put that kind of peer pressure. Like I get her point because she feel like her biological clock is ticking with her situation.
Yeah.
But it's like, you can't put that kind of pressure on something. You can't make his timeline your timeline.
Exactly. But also, if y'all remember, during dinner, her pussy was getting wet as he was explaining all that because he was getting vulnerable with her.
Mm.
Now, when they got to her house, it was a different story.
Mm.
Because she wanted to go and have him upstairs in her bed ASAP. And he was like, but before I go up there, I want to make sure we're on the same page first. So I respect him for that.
Right. Right. I respect him for being honest.
Mm-hmm. And he let her know, like, hey, look, like, I understand that's what you want. And I freaked out because that's not what I want right now.
Yeah.
And then here she go, blowing up. I done wasted my time on you. And he was like, well, I feel like when you first date somebody, it's always going to be a waste of time because you never know where it's really going to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, waste of time, like you said. chapter 18, she went to go see her grandma and got some more wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, call a thing, learning about her daddy being a lame in college and how his mom was worried about him not being able to find his way, but he eventually found his footing and found her mom. And chapter 19, clearly marking her is over with. There's nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
She cussed him out and it was deserved. She got the senior anchor position on a cheaper to keep her reasoning. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
Where he didn't want to be sued by a black woman, so he just gave her the job, but he was like, basically, I really should have gave it to homeboy, but I didn't want you to take me to court, so this is just an easier decision. Nigga! Why you gotta rain on my fucking parade? Just let me have my joy. It's like he killed her joy while everybody's excited for it, she can even be excited for herself because the reasoning he gave her on why he gave it to her. It was just so, so irritating. And this constant fight that Black people, and I'm not going to say just Black women, because Black men got to do this too, mm-hmm. where you feel like you're always in a position to have to prove yourself, even though you know more than everybody in the room, you do better work than everybody in the room, you're always put into this like hot seat of, you better not fuck up. You better make sure you do it to your best ability.
Right.
Make sure you stay an extra hour, even though everybody else gets to go home. My thing is, when any ethnicity has it made up in their mind that they're trying to get up in a higher position so they can do less but have more, and then they see a Black person try to get up in a higher position, your position is never seen by them as you're in a higher position so you could do less and have more. You are in a higher position, so I demand for you to do more, and I want to see it every day. So there is really no let up when you're not doing it on your own. Like if you have your own business and you become the owner and then you become like a CEO and an exec and you bring people on, yes, maybe in that whole deal, there's like this relaxing of working your way to the top. But when you're working your way to the top under this white cloud of racism and just looking down on you and waiting for you to fuck up, you're never at rest. You're never at peace in your position. And that shit is so exhausting to have this, always have this like invisible fight that you constantly have to do, and you're doing your best. And that's why, yes, as a Black woman or a Black man, you can be very successful. And at the same level of very successful, you're very fucking exhausted and you're miserable. Because you know the people next to you in that high up seat, they don't believe that you deserve it. They just want you to be satisfied because look at you, you're Black and you're next to me. Be satisfied. But I'm not, because you don't respect me. You don't respect the fact that I actually did the work to be here.
They be like, just be happy you're here.
Like, nigga, what?
Like, you be happy I'm here.
But yeah, I felt her on that. That shit was trash.
They could have went without all that conversation. But I also understand that he gave her some advice, but also at the same time, it didn't have to be.
It didn't so have combative. To,
it, right. It was combative from the beginning because it was just like, you did. It was like, you deserve it, but you don't deserve it.
Right. Right.
It was, I'm giving you this job because I feel like you deserve it, but I also want to see you do more.
Because he told her, like, she's unique.
Mm-hmm.
Her thinking is different from, who, Scott?
Yeah.
The other person?
Mm-hmm.
So I think he gave her some good advice, but he could lift all the other shit out.
Yeah. But then he was kind of, well, he was also right, because he was like, he's going to leave. And I have 30 resumes for the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a cookie cutter white boy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all the same.
Her coworker was basically talking to her about the fact that she has a special needs kid and her husband stays home with the kid and they're working with IVF for their next kid. So her thing was like, damn, like, you really got like a partner that works with you and y'all still want kids. And even though it's hard and it costs a lot, you still got somebody that's willing to do that with you. And she was instantly like comparing it to the fact that you can find a person that wants to do the similar things as far as like a life setup that you do, mm-hmm. but you just gotta give it time and do the work to find your person. And I also think she, in her mind, she was comparing it to the fact that my friend don't have to be dealing with this nigga just because she know him all this time.
Right.
There's somebody out here that will respect you and do right by you also, despite life. And so I thought that was interesting because I think a lot of times when Black women get up to a certain age, they start to give up on this idea that there's somebody that wants similar things that they do. So that was interesting.
But it was the other lady who got promoted, the white lady who was doing the women's employee group
thing. I don't know, because y'all get to hear the people in conversation. I got to read it. So
I think so. I think so, because she was also a senior reporter too.
Yeah, because she was talking about how she makes enough for them to live, for her to be the main breadwinner.
Household. Yeah.
And the husband stays home with their special needs son because that works out better for them.
Mm-hmm.
But she was like, I don't make that much because IVF is fucking expensive.
Yeah.
My friend paid like $30,000 for his
wife. Yeah. Uh-huh. I know somebody going through that too for their second kid. Oof. For their second kid. And I said,
the way I would be on eBay.
This would be worth it.
I mean, they want children, and some people that just can't conceive naturally, and they want babies, and
but I mean, like, okay,
have siblings.
Okay, so I'm just gonna say this out loud, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like certain people are in certain positions because they're not supposed to be having children.
Yeah,
so like, if you can't conceive naturally, I feel like if we're gonna put the Bible in it, that's God telling you you're not supposed to have no goddamn children.
Hmm.
Or I feel like I'm gay because I ain't supposed to have no children.
Or if you want children, look at the other options of having children.
Adoption,
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like, I mean, like, you're not supposed to have your own. You're not supposed to be birthing your own children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And people say they're not with adoption because they don't know what they're gonna get.
Shit. But you don't know what you're gonna get if you carry naturally either.
Exactly. I was just getting ready to say, because like, the more people that I know that are having children that are young children, everybody's starting to have autistic fucking babies.
Yeah, special needs. Mm.
And though being on the spectrum doesn't necessarily mean that you're...
So you're liking the show. That is great to know. My name is Shan, but you already know that because you're listening. You're listening. You might be listening to Call Me When You Get Off. You might be listening to Cozy Room. Creator, She Gets a Pod, The Real Relationship Rapport, Wear It Right with Shan, or So What Page We On Bit. Either way, you're listening, and I appreciate you. If you would like to support these podcasts, don't be afraid to look for the link in the show notes and donate to the show, or you can get you some merch on the Shanby Podden spot. You can find me at Shanby Podden. When it comes to guests, I like to pick my people. So please do not DM me and tell me you want to come on the show. Please do not email me and tell me what author you have that I should have on the show, because every show has a different focus and I like to pick my people. I like to make it authentic, okay? Don't try to use me for your marketing. This ain't that. That ain't this. Anywho, hope you're enjoying the show. Don't forget to find shambypodden.com. Now back to it.
Gonna be special needs your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I think that was one of my main things growing up and me looking at having children. Because y'all know back in the day we had a classroom with the special kids.
Mm-hmm. But now they all combined.
Right. I'm like, bitch, I want to be a parent and gotta deal with that.
It's hard.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a parent. I was at Walmart with my mom, and it was an elderly couple whose child was bound to a wheelchair for the rest of her life. Mm-hmm. Who can't talk, who can't walk,
mm-hmm.
who can't do anything for herself. And these people look like they both had one foot in the grave. Sound like somewhere and y'all died. What's going to happen to her? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And don't even get me started on the kids that's born with sickle cell.
Right. So I'd rather adopt see the little child walking and talking. And say, hey, come home with me.
Yeah. I don't know. I always think about, like, if I didn't have kids, would I want them later?
Yeah. That was my thought process, too.
But at when the same time, if you have kids later, I always thought about what life can I give my kid. It wasn't about, oh, I want somebody I could dress up and I could do this and they could go here and they just do what I say. It wasn't about this. Like, I don't want to raise a kid in an apartment in a city that I can't afford.
Right.
So if I can't put them in a space that have the best childhood that I can provide and it's decent and they're safe and they're comfortable, I don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't think like that.
Mm-mm. No, they don't.
And then I feel like a lot of people do, but then by the time all that stuff happens,
the baby already here.
It's not even the baby already here. They're in their 40s and 50s now. And then they're like, all right, I'm trying to have a child. Like, with who?
I never wanted to be an old parent. That's why I knew, like, if I ain't have kids by 35, it wasn't going to happen, baby.
Not with no newborn. That's why I say if I do it, I'm adopting, and the kid can't be no younger than 10 years old.
That's what I was saying. I mean, I was, what, 28, and I was like, well, damn, I'm almost 30. I do want a kid. So, why not?
This is a lot. And then, two, we ain't going to be enough beds for us to be up in no nursing home. And the way it's going, our kids are probably not going to be in a position to own a house.
No.
So it's not like, oh, if I get old and I need somebody and I have kids, they can help me. They probably going to be in a position where they under a lease in order to survive.
Child, your kid might not never move out. Y'all gonna be living together for the rest of their lives.
You know, Aya asked me the other day. She asked me, she's like, when I'm 18, are you gonna kick me out? I said, no. So I could create more bills for myself. I said, if you leave me where I live when you're 18, that's your decision. But I'm not kicking you out when you're 18. Because you just don't go outside and create more problems for me.
Man.
This whole idea of, like, when I'm 18, I'm gonna have all my own shit. That was like, that shit died in my generation of being 18 because rent was still $400.
Right.
Man,
that shit is over with. That shit is over with.
You think that kids are a problem now? Adult kids are different.
Oh yeah, because adult kids want to be adults until they gotta pay for shit. And then it's just like, let me call my mom and see if they gonna pay for such, and let me call my dad and see if they gonna do such. No, that's part of that adult shit that you wanted.
Exactly.
And then don't let your parent be in a position where they don't work.
That's the adult experience that you wanted to have, bitch.
Right. Where they don't have. Where they did not set you up. That shit crazy. I'm just glad I don't have a parent that's like strung out in the street. I'm on my way to work and I see them on the corner acting an ass because people deal with that shit too.
Shit, my goddaughter right now, she's 19. She like, Gotti, I'm just going to finish my AA and that's it. She's like, I'm not going to her associate's degree. Yeah. She's like, I'm going to just finish this associates. And she said, that's it. She's like, I need money now.
Oh, yeah. But they ruined that, too. Like, this whole idea that people should strive to go to school to learn these skills and to be able to come out and have a job where they can work and make a living that's decent and pay back this and have a life. That's a lie. And it's worse now because you have, instead of this government realize that they sold a lie, they're on some, here are the states that you don't have to have a degree to have this job.
Right.
So you're still sticking people with this debt that they have no help of paying off. Unless they live in out their car and they paying bills. Like, that shit is stupid. There's so many people living out their car in parking lots right now.
Right. With whole degrees, master's degrees.
Oh, yeah.
I had told my goddaughter, I said, girl, look, listen, I'm gonna tell you a secret. It's plenty of people in your life that got degrees. I ain't finished mine. I make more money than most of my friends with degrees.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, God, it put me on game because I'm trying to figure out why everybody want me to get a degree so bad.
Because it used to be like the thing that you thought equals success and it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. That's what I told her. I said, you know, you can get in a position where you can go back and do it later if you want to have it, but you don't need it.
You don't.
I think
unless you're trying to do something specific in life.
The people that are going to be the most successful right now are the people who don't have an anchor holding them down in one position.
Mm-hmm.
They have the ability to get up and change what they're doing right now without anything else and anybody else being affected. And they created their own cushion.
Yeah.
And you don't have one talent or you don't have one skill. Mm-hmm. You have multiple skills and you know how to use those skills.
Exactly.
The thing that I feel is keeping me from doing the multiple things I can do is the fact that I am anchored, not by one, but by two people.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And those are two people that didn't ask to be here. It's not like I'm in a poly relationship and there's two people that are affected by my choices. I am my mom. You know, but I feel like if you can tell your nephews, your nieces, your cousins who are young and they don't have an anchor yet, these are not the times to create an anchor that you do not need right now.
Exactly.
Especially if you could create that anchor later. These are the times to try this, you don't like it, move. Try this, you don't like it, move. And dapple, that way when you do find something that you like, you don't feel like it's a ball and chain.
Right, you could pour into it as much as you want to. And then when you start getting sick of that shit, you're like, all right, let me go something else now.
Yes, mm-hmm. Because these jobs got hit to people. Oh, the people know, like, they don't have to be here anymore.
For 20, 30 years.
And that's why they're for AI, because they're just like, fuck it. If they leave, we just put money into this and we still can do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they still won't fail with that.
They are, but not to the degree of cost. Now it's kind of like, how greedy are you as a owner or an executive? Would you rather raise these people pay, or are you pro getting 15 robots in here to do the stock work and I have to hire them and give them insurance and pay out this and they get sick and they don't come to work? Do you want 10 more automated registers or do you want 10 more cashiers?
But no, it's an AI. We're not there yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not an insurance, no.
But it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming.
It's definitely coming, but I feel like it will be more on the home, the personalized side versus the commercial mm-hmm. side, because commercial side is still very, because very of the face big wigs. Right, mm-hmm. because of the big wigs that's in it, how the people are, they want it very, very face to face interaction.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's always going to be commercial business there. But as far as like personal vehicle, that's going to become less because these notes are becoming just pointless. Mm-hmm. And people cannot afford it. And I feel like life insurance wise, the people who are already with the life insurance, they believe in life insurance. I'm going to pay this no matter what. But we are stepping more so into a generation just that's like, bitch, if I have it, I have it. If I don't, put me in a pine box and put me in the ground. I don't give a fuck. And
yeah.
And I think companies know it. Like, that's why they're trying to be like, you know, it's only $12 a day, $9 a day. Da-da-da-da-da. They're trying to convince people that you can have this and be able to afford it. But the reality is people are past pinching now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's either these companies lower their greed and get realistic with what people can afford, or they keep raising it and people start really like, I don't need this, I don't need that, only need that and that, thank you. I'm just going to live day by day. And it's really crazy out here now. Because there's going to be less people buying homes with these fucking prices and these banks disappearing. Did you see that they're getting rid of every payment, like side payment company, like PayPal's going away, Zelle's going away, Cash App is going to go away. It's going to be Fed something. So basically the government's just like, if you want to move money, you got to go through this one app. Mm-mm. It's getting really nasty. What you call it's going bankrupt? What's the, not Vanguard, the other company that holds people's money?
Fidelis?
No, start with a B.
A B as a boy?
Basically, they like, we ain't got shit. And so people that invested their money in it, just trying to pull it out, they're just like, no, you can't pull your money out. There's nothing here. On some hands up shit. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? Because I'd be losing my shit if I know I put money into a company that's supposed to hold my portfolio of shit and they're talking about you can't take your money out.
What's the name of the company? You said it started with a B?
BlackRock.
Yes. People trying to pull their money right now and they're just like, no, you can't.
Yeah.
I didn't start hearing about them until a few weeks ago, though.
Yeah, I was looking at IT jobs there.
Commercials and stuff.
This shit crazy. BlackRock won't let billionaires cash out of its $26 billion fund. They won't let people cash out. But speaking of that shit, nigga, I was driving through Buckhead today. Mm-hmm. Why is premium fucking $6.50 a gallon?
Man.
I said, nigga, I feel sorry for anybody driving a high-end vehicle.
Right. I got rid of my shit just in time.
We're not going nowhere with them prices.
Mm-mm. Flights on double.
$6.50 a gallon?
Flights double the price.
Ain't nobody going nowhere.
Nowhere. Mm-mm. That shit crazy. But, we ain't even through.
Right, we're not even done.
Chapter 20. They set up a date for drinks with Lexi, and she's just like, "Can it just be us?" And she's like, "Yeah, whatever." Chapter 21. They go to this restaurant or this bar called Post and Bean, and they meet up. And Lexi was going in about how her life is so absorbed by everyone else's shit, and it's just a bag of bullshit because she still got the same nigga cheating on her. They in a marriage. They got these kids. Her life looks like is what it's supposed to be, but she realizes that she ain't doing nothing for her. She doing all of this stuff for other people. Mm-hmm. She gave her the update on the job and Mark's bullshit. And that was pretty much that chapter. Chapter 22. Mm-hmm. I feel like she was fucking. But Tabby, Lexi, they were all supposed to meet up, and Lexi was MIA. Okay, she sounded like she was humping on the phone, but she was busy, and you know, homegirl with the Mr. Beaks, Mr. Mysterious Married Man. She's talking about managing her feelings with a married man is complicated. Bitch, it's not.
Yeah.
He's married. Your feelings don't belong here. Keep that shit at home.
Right.
She talking about how she already in it. Bitch, bail out. Like, what you mean? It's right. So simple.
It's very simple. And if you don't,
it's so simple.
And if you don't want to leave because it did good, girl, say that.
Then okay. Say that. Like, you know, like keep it 1,000. I want to keep fucking him. What you mean?
And
right.
Then, they mentioned a man presenting as single. Let me tell you something. I chuckled because Sunday, Ari Daddy usually meets me like 6:30, 7:30-ish at the latest on Sunday. Because she got to go to school. Their bedtime is 8.
Mm-hmm.
I text this man at 6 something. I said, "What time am I meeting you?" Crickets. Supposedly he working. He didn't know what time he was getting off. Well, that's something you need to tell me so I can be aware. You
and right.
It's 10:30, y'all.
At night?
10:30 on a Sunday, this man. And I'm waiting for Richie to come get Anya because she didn't want to go on a field trip on Monday. So she was going to go to his house and then he was going to have her at the shop. So I can't leave the house. I'm waiting for Richie to come get Anya. He was at my aunt's house. I said, when are you bringing Ari? He was like, oh, so you're not going to meet me? Nigga, we never made up a time to meet.
Right.
It happened 3 hours ago. I said, why didn't you communicate that it was going to be late? Why didn't you communicate that you was going to need me to meet you somewhere late? I said, I don't have one kid. I have two. I said, it's called communication and being considerate. In your mind, whatever you had going on that was running late, in your mind, you said, fuck Shan. I'm going to just see her when I see her. Because you had to. If you know Ari got to be somewhere else and it includes me meeting you to go see Ari, you said, fuck what I got going on. You just going to meet me when I go meet you. That's inconsiderate.
I'm on over here.
So he called me on speaker in the car. I didn't say nothing crazy. I was just telling him that's inconsiderate. He's like, well, I need help. Nobody's helping me. I said, what help do you need and when have you asked for help? He was like, you and Kia talk all the time. Why don't y'all set something up? I said, first of all, I don't have no kid with Kia. I said, I have a kid with you. That's your girlfriend. That's your child's mom. He was like, that's not my girlfriend. That's the mother of my child. Nigga, that's your girlfriend when it's convenient.
Right.
And I wish she was in the car so she could hear that. I said, if you want to speak to her and say, hey, if I'm working past this time, can you meet Shan with Ari? Fine, set that up and then I'll agree to it. But I feel like she already doing enough. She already doing more than she need to be doing in her position. So if you want to
ask, no help.
If you want to ask your girlfriend, can she do something extra for you and your kid? You do that. I said, you don't call my brother to set shit up. You don't call my nephews to set shit up. If my nephew's got to meet you with the girls, it gets done. I set that shit up. You got to set that shit up on your side. I said, but you got to communicate with me. But it made me think about when she said, men presenting as single. Nigga, you're not single. You're not single. If you can't meet a bitch outside today and bring her to your house and chill, you're not single. You present as single. But it's just so funny how you have these different women in your life that are something to you when it's convenient.
So, mommy, that's probably
But anyway, I thought that was funny. She told her about her work promotion and she just left it at that. I feel like Lexi about to have herself in some bullshit if she don't. And I feel like she is preggo. You know, she said it. She said she not. I feel like it's headed that way because she's doing too much and her feelings caught up in it that bad.
Right.
It's not a secret that this man is married.
Damn.
That'll be a whole another thing if it was a secret. Chapter 23. Tab basically updates her granny and Miss Gretchen about Mark. And Miss Gretchen be dropping some gems. She said, don't ever die of exhaustion on somebody else's terms. Said, that's a motherfucking word. Because if I'm going to be exhausted, it has to be from doing something I want to do.
Right.
Yeah.
If I'm going to keep trying, it has to be because I'm trying for this thing that I really want. It can't be, oh, you know, my kid wants to be in cheerleading, so I'm going to put up this money and put my kid in cheerleading, even though I really don't have the money to do it. Or my kid wants to play soccer, or they don't like soccer, so now they want to be in basketball, I'm going to put up the money. No, there has to be, like, some boundaries to this. And I think another thing is, like, I think you do more damage making yourself available to let people do all of these things through your money or your time.
Including your kids.
And, yes, and they don't see shit through. Mm-hmm. Like, if one of the girls is like, you know what, I really want to do soccer, I'm just like, okay, if you do soccer every Saturday morning when you got practice, you got to get up and go to practice. Ain't no, I'm tired or I'm sleeping and I put money into this. And that's how I know, like, and before I had kids, I'm just like, I can't be no extracurricular mom. It's not in me. It's not in me to be getting up, going, driving hours for tournaments. It's not in me to be going to cheerleading. It's not in me to be doing this. It's not in me. I'm not that person. Okay? Now, if every other Saturday you want to go to the YMCA and do a sport, we can make something shake, especially in the summertime. But I just knew, like, there's no way I'm going to be working how I work, doing what I do, having the rest I want, and have kids in extracurricular activities. So that shit is expensive.
Yes, yeah, it is.
Okay?
It is.
That shit was crazy. What she said.
Financial and in your own and time.
Yes. And mm-hmm. then to hold back your thoughts when your child sucks at it.
Oh my God. Well, I'm a soccer mom. I'm a basketball mom. My son don't suck, just FYI.
No, good, but I just couldn't do it if they did. I'm just like, dog. Are you sure you want to do this? Mm-hmm.
But there are some parents like that at practice that just be like, damn.
Like, if
my baby wanted to try, I'm going to let him try it.
If one of my kids was like, I want to get the tuba and they sucked, yeah, I would be in the closet screaming. Screaming. But
I still let them do it because they got to find out they stuck one way or another.
But that's mm-hmm. the other problem is there's too many parents out here that don't want their kids to know that they suck at something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even mm-hmm. the games now. A lot of these kids play the game, and they play a game where they can just get off at any time and get back to where they started. I mean, to where they left off at. They don't have to go back to the start. You know, like, when we play video games when we were younger, you got to see that shit all the way through, or you got to start over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you lose
they're not learning. You die. They're not learning the fact that if I don't keep going or I don't keep trying to figure out how to get over here, I'm going to go back to square one. They get off the game when they feel like they're not going to get it, or they log out if, oh, I'm losing. I don't want to play that no more. You don't want to play it no more because you're not winning.
Right.
Yeah. Games are strategy.
Yes.
You got to have strategies.
But, you know, people. She talked to her grandma about what does it feel like to be white.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was a good question.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And her granny was basically like, she never felt white. And she asked her, do you consider yourself black? And she was like, I ain't got no choice but to consider myself black. People see me as black, basically. And her granny talked about no matter how much she did for her dad, or she loved her dad, or she held her dad, she remember always feeling like she will never be able to always protect him.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being at State Farm after that nurse called me and told me that I was having another girl. I was pissed.
I remember that day too.
I was pissed.
Right behind you.
But in my mind, I'm just like, now I can kind of relax because having a black boy in this country is, it's like an anxious feeling mm-hmm. of like, when is society going to stop looking at him as a boy? You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And so it was like in my mind before I knew what I was having, it was like, I was mentally preparing myself for like, you got to carry this pressure too now. I mean, you mm-hmm. have black girls, but you don't have like that pressure, like somebody's going treat your black daughter like a grown woman one day and manhandle her, you know what I'm saying? But yeah. I feel like with black boys, it's just like their innocence gets taken
at so eight, early.
At maybe eight because they're really tall or their voice is deeper, or maybe they get facial hair earlier and you just assume, like, it's just like, why is it like that for them? And I kind of felt like a I don't know, a guilty ease that, okay, I'm having a girl. I mean, there's a way I have to protect her, but not like, oh, my son went to the basketball court with a bunch of other boys. What if somebody assumes him something and treats him a certain way? It wasn't like that. And I feel like a lot of times, if you are a mom and you have a boy, it's kind of like you want to let them go in the backyard and be in the dirt or go down the street with other boys that are playing and play. But you also in your mind know the dangers of being a Black boy outside playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it's just a different thing you got to think about when you have sons. But I understood what she said when she said that. She asked her granny if she was going to come for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And her granny was just like, no, girl. I'm having Netflix and chill with my friend.
Right.
That was so cute. But it just goes back to what Casey was saying. Like,
they need
older
community.
People want a life too. Mm-hmm. And they want to be with their people.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But those are like good chapters of like insight. I felt like it was like Black woman insight.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the next chapter and the last chapter will be nice. Not chapter. The next episode will be episode 5, chapters 24 to 41 in the epilogue. We'll record on the 31st. Oh my goodness.
D-Day.
Hey.
That's my last day at motherfucking Everest.
I know you're excited about that.
I am. I'm not excited about when I get my surface checked up, but.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Interesting. But yeah. Anything else?
Mm-mm. I have nothing.
It's only Tuesday, and after the time change, I felt like the day is only like that long.
You feel like the days is longer?
No, I feel like it's that long, shorter.
Oh,
I don't feel the difference.
I feel like the morning is just like, damn, nigga, I could be asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I leave out of here, it's pitch black.
Oh. Maybe because I'm not working.
I do like the fact that I get to drive home and it's still like day out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that.
We got some late errands to run. Still be out.
Well, I work it, but I ain't working.
I've been getting up at like, with the exception of this morning, I've been getting up at like 9.
No, I'm gonna set my alarm for 8.
9 in the morning. I'm supposed to be to work at 8, but.
Well, I log on my phone at 8.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if I could jiggle my thighs when I'm 80.
Mm.
Now, what though? Yeah.
If I could jiggle my thighs when I'm 80.
I mean, if you don't stop doing it.
Oh my God.
What did I tell y'all? We went to the male strip club on Friday.
No. I would not be going if I didn't think. Yeah, if I thought it was going to be mediocre.
Then when you go home, bitch, be real relaxed and go to sleep.
Right.
Yeah, that's a work. Leaving work hit different when you know you're not coming back tomorrow.
It do.
Yeah. It'll just make my week feel a little bit faster. Mm-hmm.
If you pass the Buc-ee's, let me know.
Yeah,
I would like a sweatshirt.
We ate there Friday.
I always pass it, but I never been in there.
You what? Always pass Buc-ee's
when you're like when I was going to Florida, I passed it. When I was coming from Florida, I passed it. When I was going, I think coming from South Carolina, I passed them. But I never
saw. Oh, up 75.
Mm-hmm.
Oh well, girl, if you see a Buc-ee's, you let me know. I seen some money.
That's it.
Okay, y'all.
toodaloos.
Yeah, have a good night. Talk to y'all the rest of the week.
Good night.
Bye, Kobe.
Bye, Kobe.
He said bye.
Oh, did he say it or did he wave?
No, he said bye, but my AirPods are just saying.
Oh, okay.
Bye, Kiki.
Bye. Right, so, good night.
Night-night.